90.3 FM, your station for progressive information. WRFG provides a voice for those who have been traditionally denied access to broadcast media through the involvement of a broad base of community elements to guarantee that access. In the utilization of the Foundation's facilities and in its programs, the following communities will receive first priority: those who continue to be denied free and open access to the broadcast media, and those who suffer oppression or exploitation based upon class, race, sex, age, creed, disability, sexual orientation, or immigrant status.
Opinions expressed on WRFG do not necessarily represent the opinions of Radio Free Georgia Broadcasting Foundation, Inc., staff, or volunteers. You are listening to WRFG 89.3 FM, your station for progressive information. And you are listening to Alternative Perspectives, the weekly program about the GLBTQI community, produced by Betty Cuvitier. Alternative Perspectives is about the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer questioning, and intersex community, informing about the issues that affect us and our allies, and the common humanity that connects us all.
Buenas tardes. Hello, Atlanta. It is Tuesday night. It is August 11th. And this is Alternative Perspectives. And my name is Betty. And on a quick note, before we go into anything else, remember that in the past month or so, that was twice that I had talked about an incident down in Union City regarding water charges at a mobile home park, and I thought that solutions had been gotten or come to with the residents and management. Well, the advocate person who was speaking up for and bringing to the attention of management about the water charges and trying to round up the folks to gather and to unite so that they could form a unit, so that they could, a community, so that they could go up against these injustices that were occurring. And that advocate now has been asked to depart the park by management. And of course, the advocate is going to fight it. But this is just a note to anyone who's out there who wants to know more about the situation, because it is, I believe it is now going into the realm of our civil rights and our right to gather, our right to speak up, and our right to challenge those who are in power to get the justice that is deserved. Okay, and this is something that is happening to not only the immigrants, but you know, citizens, United States citizens, and they're being taken advantage of, in my opinion. And it's just, if you want to know more about it, you can contact me at Betlear, BETLEAR, at yahoo.com. Okay, and tonight we're going to be speaking to N.E. Francis, who writes for the, she's a journalist out in California, writes for the Art Examiner. And she had decided back in June to, she is a heterosexual ally of the GLBT community. And June, when Pride Month was declared by the president, she decided to write 30 stories of the GLBT community. So she'll be with us tonight to tell us about some of those 30 stories and her reasons behind it. And also, Becky Jane Harrelson will be joining us again. And she is Art That Dares. She has a... she will be speaking at the Virginia Highlands Church on August 16th. And she will give us details about that. Okay. In the meantime, a little music and I'll be back in a sec. We're back, and I'm going to go to the next track on this.
Simplemente pensar. organizarla. La migración forzada, el desplazamiento, es un arma. Pienso mucho en lo que están andando sobre la tierra. Hay otra cosa que me ocupa, otra cosa que me preocupa. Cantando de amor, no, no lo parece. Nadando en el mar de todas las posibilidades, a ver qué surge a la letra. Pensando, estamos sentados aquí en el estudio.
Have Becky on the line.
I'm here, Betty.
Okay, how are you doing?
Doing great. ¿Cómo está?
Muy bien, ¿y usted?
Oh, good, good. I'm afraid I don't know Spanish, or,
okay.
So you'll have to teach me.
Okay, all right, we can do that, we can do that. All righty. We have Becky on. It's okay, I'll call you Becky on the air, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
We had Becky on last week also. We chatted, and Becky will be here next month for a longer version to give us more details about what she does and her own little art revolution. Okay. Guess what? That's how I call it. And she has something out there called Art That Dares.
Well, actually, that is a title of a book.
Mm-hmm.
Art That Dares, Gay Jesus, Woman Christ, and More, and it's written by Kittredge Cherry, who mm-hmm. you've had on the show.
Yes, a while back. Yes, we did. Yes we did.
Did.
We had a couple of times, and when she first wrote the book, Jesus in Love, and people can
That's
find
right.
out more information on that at jesusinlove.org.
That's correct.
Yeah. So give us a little background on you, okay?
Well, since 1993... I have been challenging religious orthodoxy through progressive Christian iconography. And in doing that, I've been exploring contemporary and social justice issues, endeavoring to revive Christ's teaching that all of us, every one of us, are the beloved. And, of course, that gets into some narratives about us LGBTQ folks, because that is a hot topic in social and political circles. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
So So I began in 1993 when the Don't Ask, Don't Tell military policy went through. And it kind of, I actually had these ideas in 1991, but it took me a little while to muster up the courage to start painting them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when President Clinton was attacked, when he rescinded the ban on gays in the military, and of course Congress passed the law and really usurped what Clinton was wanting to do.
Mm-hmm.
That got me really inspired to get to painting and to use my art as an activist voice.
Mm.
So a lot of my paintings deal with gay, lesbian, transgender, the whole gender issue,
right,
in general.
Right.
A bit
before your time. I mean, a bit. You were ahead of the times. I
was indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Kit. Basically, said. Now, although I believe there was one artist who started in '91, but mm-hmm. I began painting in '93, and I started with Judas Kiss,
mm-hmm.
one of my old paintings, and then the Crucifixion of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it really gets at the teachings that, you know, we are all one in
mm-hmm.
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to get that message across. And unfortunately, there are conservative religious right voices that have used a minority
mm-hmm.
of us
mm-hmm.
To condemn and vilify us, of course, and that's just contrary to everything I was ever taught about Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me kind of a little angry that people were misusing the scriptures to vilify a segment of the population.
Right. But, I mean, the folks that do that are, you know, generally speaking, are the folks that, they call them the religious right. Okay. They're conservative.
Yes.
And so somehow they have figured out how to get misinformation and put it out there like it's the truth.
Exactly.
Okay, and you know that sort of kind of baffled the progressives and, you know, folks on the left and all for a bit. But I think we're catching up to them a little bit, and I think that a lot of us know what it is that they do. And I believe that the past couple of years, it's like the target or the concentration has been trying to combat that, combat the misinformation,
exactly.
and using the same words, maybe possibly, but using them in the correct word, the correct way, and to get the information out there the way it's supposed to be gotten out there.
And within context, yes.
Yes, yes.
I believe it was the Reverend Troy Sanders that you had on your show in one of your Faith and Politics. He was talking about Howard Thurman's grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Who says that all scripture might be scripture, but it ain't truth necessarily.
Yeah.
And that
we have
to have these conversations,
right,
to reinforce the fact that we don't take the Bible literally, and he's talking about the clergy.
Right.
Or segments of the clergy.
Right.
And he made up the point that Leviticus says, don't eat seafood, but there isn't anybody holding any religious rallies around Red Lobster.
Right, exactly. Okay, yeah, exactly. We're waiting for another phone call from out west with a N.E. Francis, and she is a journalist from the Art Examiner, and she is a heterosexual ally, and she wrote 30 stories in June during Pride Month about the GLBT community, and we're going to have her on the air today to find out what those stories are and what motivated her. And I believe she might be on the line at the moment. So if you can just give us what you're going to be doing on the 16th.
On the 16th, which is Sunday, services start at 11 a.m. at Virginia Highland Church. The church is at Ponce de Leon Place, at the corner of Ponce de Leon Place and Virginia Avenue. And I'm going to be talking about Christ Today, Artistic Insights. And I will be showing some of my artwork as well as the artwork of Janet McKenzie. Janet is also included in Kit Cherry's book, Art That Dares, Gay Jesus, Woman, Christ, and More. And one of her paintings, called Jesus of the People, is just a stunning work of art. If you see it, it is an androgynous figure of a Christ figure, androgynous figure. You can read female or male, but it looks more female to me, and it is a Christ of color. And in fact, it is the artwork that is on the cover of the book Art That Dares.
Okay.
But, Janet is sending me also some images for a book release coming out this fall that is on her artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And Janet is really an amazing artist. She's in Vermont, and she is one of our straight sister allies.
Okay. Cool beans.
Cool beans.
Yes. Cool beans. That's become sort of kind of a little slogan between Becky and myself now. Okay. And that's really cool beans. Okay. Yeah. And we have N.E. Francis on the other line, and she is calling from out west in California. Am I right?
Yes.
Right. And could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I live here in Sacramento. I am married to an African-American man, and I have a 4-year-old daughter and a 21-year-old son in the Midwest going to college. I write for The Examiner Online. I'm an arts and entertainment reporter. And recently, the month of June of this year, I decided to do 30 days of stories exclusively on the LGBT arts and entertainment community.
Wow. And that's what caught my eye, because I saw that story when it came out, and I just thought it was totally amazing. And I contacted N.E. Francis, and I asked her if she would be willing to come on the show, and she replied with a huge positive. You know, so I was just as happy as could be, because I like to hear the reasons why you do the things that you do as a straight woman. What motivated you to write about the GLBT community at a time when we're in such controversy, or there's so many issues that are going on out there that cause controversy, or, you know, but at the same time also bringing folks together to have these kinds of conversations as to why is it necessary to be an ally, for instance, you know, and what is the good of that, and you know, and how do we, as GLBT, for myself, how do we change the minds and hearts of those people out there who have not yet gotten to that place of saying it's okay, you know, for the GLBT folks. So tell us, what is it that, you know, you see, what did you hear, what did you do that motivated you and you wanted to tell these stories?
Okay, well, there were a lot of reasons, but I'll narrow it down to two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One, I just reached my limit in expecting the California Supreme Court and the people who are behind Proposition 8 to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, this is ludicrous, and instead of just reporting the news, I decided that I wanted to help change the news and bring LGBT stories into the mainstream. I don't think that LGBT stories should only be on Logo or on PBS in the middle of the night. I think they should be on the news programs, in the newspapers, in the magazines that every American reads.
Mm-hmm.
I was also motivated by the discrimination that I've seen and experienced firsthand myself. I've experienced discrimination as a woman, as a single mother for over 15 years, as a mother of a child with autism and partial blindness, as the wife of an African-American man, and the mother of a biracial daughter. All of these experiences of discrimination throughout my life, and seeing discrimination continue against people I cared about, especially in the LGBT community, it came to a boiling point for me, and I felt that I couldn't sit back anymore and not address this.
Mm. Wow. When I hear things spoken as you have, and coming from a heterosexual woman, It fills me. It fills me with an emotion. It fills me with hope. It fills me, you know, that it's possible. It's possible that we can all walk that same, you know, line or that same place, or and get, you know, and get along, and everybody having the you know, the equality, and everybody experiencing justice, okay, and that all the things that we face in this world, you know, from bullying, which affects both straight and gay youth in the schools, that should never be. The school should be the safest place that a child goes to, okay, because it is a place of learning, and they shouldn't have to fear, regardless of who they are, you know, from hate crimes to the ENDA, which is the equal opportunity in the workplace, not to be discriminated against because your gender or sexual orientation. There's so many things, you know, don't ask, don't tell, to be able to serve your country, you know, without fear of being exposed because you are a same gender loving person. It is, you know, to hear that from someone who is straight, is quite wonderful. It's quite wonderful. I mean, Becky, if you have anything that you want to say, I already had told Miss Frances that you were on the line. So if there's any questions that you have for Miss Frances, please feel free.
I just wanted to say, Miss Frances, first of all, God love you.
Yes.
And secondly, I had posted up on my Facebook page that you would be appearing on the show tonight. Mm-hmm. And immediately someone responded, a lesbian person that I know, who said, oh my God, we need more reporters like Miss Frances.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It's really, you know, it's almost to the point of overwhelming for me. You know,
it can bring tears to your eyes,
yeah,
honestly.
Because, I mean, this show is specifically, you know, for GLBT issues and our allies, okay? And when we find allies like yourself, it is an indicator to me, you know, that we're making a difference, you know, and sometimes it makes you wonder. I know that maybe as a journalist, it makes you wonder sometimes, you know, are people reading it? Are people paying attention? Are people hearing it? This, you know, I mean, are they getting the message that you're trying to get out there? And I know that I sit here sometimes, you know, wondering, you know, is the message getting out there? Is because it's about, you know, letting folks know that, you know, we're human beings.
Yeah.
We deserve all the best that there is, okay, and wherever we search for that, and it's quite you know, touching. I don't want to get too emotional because I certainly could if I keep going, but
I would also like to commend Ms. Frances. I would like to commend your courage.
Yes.
Because I'm sure you had to sacrifice along the way in order to do this.
You know, the sacrifices were smaller than what I expected, and I really didn't really care what anyone who is anti-LGBT gay rights, I didn't really care what they would have to say, and then surprisingly I didn't hear from them, because it was actually my life that was changed. I was brought to tears by an interview with a young man. You know, I met and interviewed a phenomenal lesbian feminist playwright whose works are beyond revolutionary, and I'm trying to buy her books as quickly as I can and devour them. And this is just the right thing. This is America, and this is a country that I love. And every man and every woman has a right to come to the table just as they are. And as a mother, I want to end this discrimination against our brothers and sisters in the LGBT community. I want to do it for my children, for my family, for my friends, and for America. This is the right thing to do.
Mm. Tell me, in California, Proposition 8, did you You think that they would, did it ever occur to you prior to the election that the opposition would win?
No. I never thought it would pass. But when the California Supreme Court initially overturned it, I thought, wow, justice really prevailed here. And then after a few short months, it was overturned. That was kind of like the end of the rope for me, to where, because I really thought that the issue would be laid to rest, that it wouldn't be an issue anymore, and when it was illegal for gays and lesbians to marry again, I said, okay, I know what I'm doing. 30 days of this. And I called Kimberly Esslinger, who is married to the most wonderful woman, Marie Cartier. I cannot tell you how much she has changed my life. I called Kimberly and I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm sending you a press release. Send it to everyone you know. I sent it to every LGBT magazine in the country. I sent it to the media in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, in Sacramento. And I said, okay, whatever stories come my way, and I hope there's 30 days of them, I'm going to cover every story. And that's what I did, and my life was changed. And now I'm committed to writing about the LGBT community whenever a story comes my way. I'm doing it.
All right. Okay. That sounds great. I just want to tell the audience out there that they are listening to WRFG 89.3 FM, and this is Alternative Perspective, the radio show about the GLBTQI. And if you don't know what all that means, it's the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer questioning, and intersex community, and our allies. And if you want to call and ask questions of N.E. Francis, the journalist from the Art Examiner, right?
From examiner.com/Sacramento.
Okay. And from Becky Jane Harrelson. If you have any questions, the number to call is 404-523-8989. And in the meantime, Miss Francis, tell us, could you tell us maybe one or two of the stories that you did write? And why the, you know, what are, which were the most, like, you know, touching? I'm assuming that all 30 were probably touching, but
yeah.
What are the most, give us maybe two or three stories that you wrote about.
There was a gay photographer named Jeff Sheng, S-H-E-N-G, and he does amazing photography, and one of his pieces of work was called Where Matthew Lay Dying, Laramie, Wyoming, 2007. And it's a 40-foot by 6-foot photographic landscape of what Matthew Shepard saw as he lay dying. And when I saw that work, I just stopped what I was doing, and I just really tried to take in what this young man saw as he was dying, and I thought, oh my God, this could have been my son. This must never happen to another person again. It moved me to tears. I was also blown away by Carolyn Gage. Like I said, she is one of the most prolific playwrights in the country. And when you read her work or you see it performed, it will truly change your life as a woman. One of her most well-known works is The Second Coming of Joan of Arc. And it was amazing. And I want women of all sexual orientations, not just lesbian women, to buy her plays and her books, read them. And I can hear Carolyn saying, read it aloud. Read them aloud. Her work will change your life. And I guess finally would be my personal hero, Marie Cartier. She has changed the lives of thousands, if not millions, of women around the world who are survivors of sexual and child abuse. Her poem, Dandelion Children, has saved the lives of untold survivors, especially women. and she's my hero, and she's incredible.
Wow.
Just incredible.
Wow. You have any other major projects coming up?
Well, I'm currently reading a biography on Charlotte Cushman, and I learned about her. She was probably the most well-known actress, lesbian actresses in the world in the 1800s, and I learned about her through one of Carolyn Gage's plays. So I'm reading about her, and I'm thinking of maybe writing a short book mm-hmm. on her life and mm-hmm. bringing this amazing woman into today's world.
Mm.
I want women to know about this woman. She was just incredible. I wish I was as brave and courageous as she was.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking about a conversation I had earlier today about mainstream media and what they tell us and what they don't tell us, you know. And the person I was talking to is like, you know, they basically believe what they read in, you know, newspapers or as they see on TV and the news. And I, you know, my point was to them, you know, you have to research what you hear.
Yeah.
And you have to go and get the real story to understand what it is that's happening, okay? And when stories, as like what you're doing, you know, it gets right down to the nitty-gritty as to the, you know, the actual folks they're doing and things happening to. And, you know, with Becky, for instance, with the, you know, paintings that she does depicting one of the things that is in such controversy in the GLBT community today, which is religion and how we view that and what we believe and what we were taught and, you know, how do we hold on to that or don't hold on to it
mm-hmm.
and how we perceive all these things. And I, you know, all of that to say is that it is so important for folks out there to be informed, okay, beyond what you think is the news, because behind every news story there is another story.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the reality of whatever it is, which could take you to many different places if you really investigate or take the time, you know, to learn what is going on behind the scenes, for instance, or the folks who are involved, or you know, why things are happening the way they're happening in the political world, and what are the intentions of those that we elect to represent us and to make decisions that affect us every day of our lives. And if we don't pay attention, we find ourselves in places that we really don't want to be, you know, having to deal with things that we don't want to deal with. And it's all up to us, you know, it's all up to us. And knowing the reality of things. And there's just so many things out there that are going on right now that are dealing with this issue from maybe different directions, but all aimed at the same destination. And, yeah, and it's, you know, for me to have, you know, folks that are dealing with true life situations and true life issues and can tell the stories behind those things. It is just, you know, I never, you know, news, you know, being behind a mic and doing this kind of thing was never anything that I thought about as a child. It was, you know, it was just something that came about through the activism that I got myself involved in. And it wasn't that long ago, you know, 2002, 2003 is when I became active in the community. And things just seemed to be falling in my lap. And the opportunity to be at WRFG and the fact that they opened up the door to the GLBT community, it was an opportunity. It was just an opportunity to be able to voice those, you know, things that were important to the GLBT community and affected us every day. And then to, you know, to even move further forward and fine folks that are the allies, because we always knew that we needed our allies, and we seldom thank them, you know. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you, Miss Francis, being an ally to the GLBT community and telling those stories that you have told, you know, to educate the public and to, you know, to give us a I get, you know, I say it in a face, you know, a face that sort of kind of belongs to all of us, you know, that people can look at and see who we are and what we do through life. It's, I thank you. I just want to take this opportunity to thank you and to thank all our allies out there, because we certainly need you. And we couldn't do it without you, you know, because... you know, though, you know, there's lots of us out there, but there's not enough, you know, to make those changes. And if we don't have our allies, we can't make those changes come true. Okay, but you know, tell us some more about. And Becky, please join the conversation.
I'd be finding myself saying amen every time you say something.
It's just wonderful to find folks that can have those conversations, you know, because it's sometimes that's all we need to do. Is just, you know, we need to talk about the stuff that is happening to us from day to day, or happening to those around us, or happening to our community. You know, it's important to talk about all the issues, you know, and whether they're political, religious, or family, you know, wise. I mean, and you know, our children, in every aspect. Because the point is that, you know, GLBT folks are not much different than quote unquote regular folks out there, okay? And we deal with all the same things, you know. We have jobs and we have homes and we have families and we have all the bills that we have to pay, just like everybody else, you know.
And taxes.
And we deal with all the same daily issues as anyone else out there. And I mean, I don't, you know, sometimes I wonder what it is that folks think about us and how we exist from day to day, or what do we, you know, go through, you know, when we're raising children. Well, we go through the same things that you all go through. You know, we go to PTA meetings, you know, mm-hmm. and we go to, you know, if we got boys and, you know, go soccer game, even girls, you know, they play soccer also. I know my granddaughter plays soccer. But, you know, we go to the games, we take them to ballet, and we take them to gymnastics. In my day, when I was raising mine, that's what I did, you know. And, it's not much different, and you want all the same things that the rest of, you know, parents want for their children. You want them to have a good life. You want them to find happiness, you know, wherever that may be. And you want them to be safe, and you know, you want them to be generally good people. You know, and that's not much different, I think, than, you know, anybody else out there. So but you know.
And if I might say something, there seems to be a trend. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, because I haven't really studied it or quantified it, but there seems to be a trend where the majority is standing up for the minority,
mm-hmm.
Such as Ms. Francis here.
Mm-hmm.
And in my circle of friends, I have a lot of straight allies,
mm-hmm.
who are standing up and getting more involved in things like marriage equality,
right?
Don't ask, don't tell. It seems to me that the time has come,
mm-hmm.
to where the majority is now standing up for us, the minority,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
who up to this point has been basically a whipping boy in the political arena.
Yeah.
So it is really refreshing, Ms. Francis, to see your work and what you are doing and your approach to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you are, of course, you are part of a voice that is much larger than the LGBTQ voice, which, of course, is a minority.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope it's much larger. I mean, out there.
You know? I hope it is, too.
Yeah. You know, because I've always said that it doesn't matter who it is behind this mic, as long as the message gets out, you know, that delivers that information, that knowledge, you know, that says, you know, the justice and equality is for everyone. You know,
yes.
It's not just for some. And earlier in the conversation, you know, we were talking about the systems, the different systems and whatnot, as far as economies and stuff. And someone said that, well, this is a good system. And my reply was, yeah, it's good for if you in the 2% that rules, you know, because the other 98% have to pay the bills. Okay, they're not, you know, the 98% that doesn't own the means of production. It are the ones that have to work, and if they lose their jobs, they, you know, they lose everything they've ever worked for. It's a good system for the 2% that have the money,
yeah.
You know, but that's, you know, the conversation was because we were watching the healthcare stuff, and the debate was whether it was single payer, which people tend to believe that it's more of a socialistic, you know, socialized medicine, or leaving it the way it is, where, you know, you have the insurance companies, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a big debate going on, you know, behind that. But it's you know, in the comparison, we tend to compare socialism with communism. And I know my age group, we sort of kind of freeze up with those words, because back in our day, you know, in the 50s and 60s, that, you know, that was almost like cussing, you know, when you said communist.
Yeah.
But or if you said socialism, that was, you know, automatically, you know, connected to communism and stuff. But it's not about one or the other. I firmly believe that this country, the people in this country, have to find a new way to think about things, because the world is changing all around us, and we can't continue to think as we did, you know. And we need to, you know, to move forward and you know, get to the reality of the issues and why they exist, and you know, that's it's the same thing with, you know, it's part of all the GLBT phenomena, and you know how people, folks sort of kind of related to the religious stuff. And you know, refer to it as not right or inhuman or any of the other words that they might use to say to condemn us. Okay, and but I know, Becky, I know you have a lot to say about that, because,
well,
in your art.
With my art, yes, I've hit on the three taboos,
mm-hmm.
that you're not supposed to talk about. Religion, politics, and sex.
Yeah.
All wrapped up into one.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that I'll have to say...
We have to liberate our thinking.
Exactly. and we have to get beyond this black and white mentality,
mm-hmm.
of it's this way or it's that way,
mm-hmm.
And open our minds to realize that we are a diverse nation,
mm-hmm.
of many religions,
mm-hmm.
and many people, and we have to coexist.
That's right.
Peaceably,
yeah. And that comes to the global aspects, not only in this country, but understanding other cultures, you know, understanding the traditions of other people, which would bring us, you know, world peace. Because I think a lot of the stuff that we get into is because there's some misunderstanding somewhere along the line, and people don't make that effort to understand those differences, because the differences are not necessarily bad. They're just different. And I think that, you know, that effort has to be made to understand that. Miss Frances, in the world, that, you know, your straight world, I don't want to put it that way because you're an ally and stuff, but do you find sometimes, you know, you said that you didn't think that Proposition 8 would be... enacted as it was, because sometimes that yes and no vote gets me confused, but
yeah.
It is law, you know, and GLBT folks cannot marry in California any longer. Did you meet any folks along the way that agreed with that, that agreed that GLBT folks should not have that right?
Yes, I did. And I
the people that agreed with that are people that are in the Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
And like Becky was speaking about earlier, I think it comes from a place of fear.
Mm.
And I'm not quite sure.
Fear of not knowing, I mean, of not understanding homosexuality, I mean.
Well, I think a lot of churches preach that if you want to go to heaven and if you want to be what
mm-hmm.
God wants you to be,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, you cannot support anything homosexual. And I actually just finished a book by Darren Main called Hearts and Minds, Talking to Christians About Homosexuality.
Mm.
And
wow.
I think people need to give themselves, if learning about people who are different than yourself is too scary, give yourself 5 minutes of radical love and open-mindedness.
Mm-hmm.
Like going to Becky's site and looking at her beautiful art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people in the straight community be like, oh my gosh, and instantly judge. Well,
right.
Don't do that. Give yourself 5 minutes of non-judgment.
Mm-hmm.
See what the artist is trying to say. Appreciate the beauty and see if there's a story there that can teach you.
Mm-hmm.
And I never understood why people think sexuality is so black and white, because I've always believed it's this spectrum. And people fall all along the spectrum, and sexuality is complicated and it's fluid. And I don't understand why the straight community especially are so black and white about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. judgmental about it.
Right. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break because we have to do one of these quick messages for WRFG. But stay right where you are, and we will be right back.
WRFG is seeking sponsorships for its variety of music and public affairs programs. If you would like to have your organization or business acknowledged through a financial sponsorship of your favorite WRFG program, please email us at underwriting@wrfg.org.
Okay, quick message. That's how we pay the bills.
Important to do that.
Yeah, right. Important to do that so we can stay on the air. Yes. And I just want to take also a quick second because we just finished our marathon, our summer marathon last week. And I just want to thank all those that have donated during that time. And you still can donate by calling 404-523-3471 or going up online at www.wrfg.org. And click on that donate now button. Okie dokie. All right. Let's see. We have a few minutes left. Miss Frances, tell us where people can find you on the web.
Well, right now I write for The Examiner, and the mm-hmm. website is examiner.com/Sacramento. I'm the only arts and entertainment reporter there.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can also pull up my name, N.E. Francis.
Mm-hmm.
Through the search engine at Examiner.
Okay, and all the articles that you wrote will be there?
Yes.
Okay, cool beans. And Becky, give us your site again.
Okay, it is beckyjane.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you spell Becky like you think Becky should be spelled and Jane like you think that Jane should be spelled, it'll get there.
It'll get there. No matter how you spell it, it'll get there.
No matter how you spell it, you'll get there.
Cool beans on that, too. Okay. Any closing statements, Ms. Frances? Is there anything that you want the audience to know about, hear about, you want to tell about? Please do so.
Well, I would love for the audience to go to Becky Jane's website. I'm in love with her Madonna Lover and Son.
Mm.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That and the Triumph of the Light. I'm just like, oh, I wish I was wealthy because I would be buying them.
Yeah.
Oh, God love you. Well, Triumph was sold a couple of years ago to a collector in New York. So, but I have a female version of Triumph of the Light that I am just dying to get to paint.
Mm.
And it is called Sojourner.
Wow.
In tribute to Sojourner Truth.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, brings in that theme of the light.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But thank you, Ms. Francis. Okay. I will be putting your examiner.com, your columns in my RSS feed.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And Becky, tell us, give us another little quick note on what you have coming up on the 16th.
On the 16th, again, I will be speaking at the Virginia Highland Church. Services start at 11. I'll be talking about Christ Today, Artistic Insights, where I'll be showing images of some of my art as well as some of the art of Janet McKenzie. Janet, again, as I talked earlier in the show, is one of the artists in the book by Kittredge Cherry, Art That Dares.
All right.
Her Jesus of the People, I tell you, it's astounding. I can't wait to show that to folks.
Very good. Very good. Miss Francis, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for giving us of your time.
Oh, my pleasure.
And your stories. And I hope that, you know, we can communicate again and that you will join us here again in the future to tell us what you've been doing and how you... You know, if you're telling more stories about the GLVT community, we certainly would love to hear about them. And, you know, and thank you. I can't, you know, thank you enough for what you're doing. And I hope folks, you know, check you out online and follow your stories. And I know I certainly will be doing that.
Right. And please let us know, keep in touch, let us know about the book you're talking about, right?
Yes, when you have that, please send me a little thingy and we can have you back on so you can tell us about that and when the release date will be and so forth and so on.
Oh, sure, that'll be sometime in the future.
Yeah, well, whenever that future is, you let us know.
I sure will.
And again, you know, we only have like 2 minutes. I wish we had longer so we can even talk about more of the stories that you wrote about, because the ones that you told us about just seem so intriguing, and I'm sure that all of them were. You know, it's just an extraordinary feat that you took on during that time in honor of Pride Month, and I certainly thank you for that.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and all of the articles are still out there online, so anyone can read them and access them.
Okay, give them that website again.
It's examiner.com/Sacramento. Just look for Arts and Entertainment and N.E. Francis.
Okay. All right, and with that, I'm going to have to say good night to both of you, and I'll be speaking to you soon, Becky, and I will be staying in touch with you, Miss Francis, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you. Hasta la vista, Betty.
Hasta la vista. Yes.
Bye-bye.
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 All right, and that was N.E. Francis from the Examiner.com Arts and Entertainment, and Becky Jane Harrelson. And she has an event coming up at the Virginia Highlands Church on August 16th at 11 a.m. And for now, I will say to you good night and buenas noches till next week.